Turn to Numbers 36, also known as the last chapter in the book of Numbers. Verse 1. Now you'll recognize this from also Numbers 27. It's a different event, but it draws from that which was before done. Numbers 36, verse 1. The heads of the fathers' households of the family, the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the leaders, the heads of the fathers' households of the sons of Israel. And they said, "The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land by lot to the sons of Israel as an inheritance. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But if they marry one of the sons of the other tribes of the sons of Israel, their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of our fathers and will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong. Thus it will be withdrawn from our allotted inheritance. When the Jubilee of the sons of Israel comes, then the inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong. So their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." And Moses commanded the sons of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, saying, "The tribe of the sons of Joseph are right in their statements. This is what the Lord has commanded concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, 'Let them marry whom they wish, only they must marry within the family of the tribe of their father. Thus no inheritance of the sons of Israel shall be transferred from tribe to tribe, for the sons of Israel shall each hold to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Every daughter who comes into possession of an inheritance of any tribe of the sons of Israel shall be wife to one of the family of the tribe of her father, so that the sons of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his fathers. Thus no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another tribe, for the tribes of the sons of Israel shall each hold to his own inheritance. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so the daughters of Zelophehad did. Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, married their uncle's sons. They married these from the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained with the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the ordinances which the Lord commanded to the sons of Israel through Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho." Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that you're a God who fosters peace and harmony among your people. Even though, Lord, we are prone to self-interest, yet, Lord, you give good laws that are prone to make peace and not to stir up trouble. And we're thankful, Lord, for that, because it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity, but it's certainly not so the other way. Or may we learn from a practice that really does not apply to us in the strictest literal sense, but whose principles we certainly want to benefit from. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I've mentioned other times, one of the main problems and the reasons we're having such wild things coming from society about morality and other things and justice is because people have wandered from God. They've left God. And once you do that, you're not under God's guidance. You're not under the Lord's will. So you don't know what to do. It's your fault that you don't know what to do, because it's readily available, and there's certain even natural inclinations in us to do what we should do. But you understand that once society as a whole is led away from or denies and rebels against the Word of God, you're on your own. You do not know what to do. And we often talk about people, or I do at least, I say people have lost their minds, because that's what makes most sense. But what they've actually lost is the Lord, and then their minds. Once you lose the Lord, then you're out there going, well, what do we do? And I don't know what to do. And so the only way you decide what to do is you get together and you decide among yourselves. And that will be different everywhere you go, every family, every nation, every county, all over the world, you'll have differing practices for that. My dad told me once, I was a kid, he would pay me, I don't know how much it wasn't much, so much an hour to do yard work. I said, man, that's better than a chore. Chores are free. He's going to pay me to do some yard work. So he left it to me. He didn't say do this, do this, do this. He just left it to me. So I thought, you know, I want to make the biggest impact in this. So I got a rake and I went down into the woods and I started raking the woods out. Right down below the house. And I was so proud. I was making an impact. Because, you know, all those trees up there, they're dropping leaves all the time in the fall. And there was a big, big bunch of leaves there. And I had in my mind a picture of, I'll clear that and make it like a paradise down there. And it will get all that stuff out of there. So I told my dad after I did it for a few days, and I guess I turned in my time card, that I was raking out the woods. And he informed me that he wasn't paying me to rake out the woods. And that ended the project right then. Because in my mind, left without guidance, I just thought, well, that would make a big impact. I'm sure it would have until... You know, of course, you take the leaves out and there's nothing underneath. And they'll fall again. And so it ended. That's the way it is. So once you're out there, once you're out on your own, you do not know what to do. I've seen these questions about how you're stranded on a boat in the ocean. What do you need to survive? All I would need would be, you know, something to read until I passed away. Because I have no idea what I know not to drink the salt water. I don't know what else I need. I couldn't make a sail from it. I know theoretically how to sail. I bet you when I got that sail up, I wouldn't be practically sailing, probably. I never have. You need guidance. And so the world... first leaves God, then they come up with all these things about morality being something it should not be. And then they start blaming society or white people or colonialism or something else because of the way things are. Because that's what has come up to the day. And because they don't know where it came from. They don't know where our Judeo-Christian values came from. They think it came from Trump or something. So then they're all upset about it. They don't like borders. Borders are bad. They think about borders and they go, oh no, we can never have borders. Well, right here in Numbers, we have borders. God making borders. God making a nation for the Jews, which other nations could not come into unless they became proselytes. There were rules. I've heard the saying, fences make good neighbors. That's really what it's about. This is what God did in putting up borders. It wasn't a hateful thing. But when people lose the sight of what God considers good or bad, then they make something bad out of something that is good in itself. You can do whatever, you know, with your border and land, however you want to. There's a sign on the way here. I don't know exactly what it says, but it's pretty rough about don't trespass. I think it's something like trespassers will be shot, something like that. So, you know, his problem is not his border. His problem is his attitude. His border, he could put up a fence if he wanted to. He could, you know, he could be nice with it. He could be mean. I don't know who lives there and don't know anything about it. I've seen signs that says, you know, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again. So that's an attitude problem. That's not about, look at this guy with a border. You're missing the point there. So borders and the morality and the limits that God has placed upon sexuality, justice, all those things which men consider to be hateful because they don't know where they came from and don't care. They're good. They are proper. We're not made, the Bible says, we're not made for sexual immorality. So when God puts a law up about that, he is actually keeping us from harming ourselves and damaging society. But the world's out there in the pond without any knowledge of where they came from. So they're making laws and judgments that are just outlandish in foolishness, because they just don't know what they're talking about, because they've left God. Would you come here? And the Lord is concerned about making peace. And really, one of the most potentially contentious things on earth is earth. I mean, your land. And that goes all the way back. That is something God has dealt with from the very beginning. There are commands, such as Deuteronomy 19:14, it says this: "You shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark, which the ancestors have set, in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God gives you to possess." That's a pretty cheap way to get some extra land. Go out and find the little poles where they are and just move them over. Give yourself more land. It's stealing land. So they said, "You can't do that. Don't do that." The Lord took great care to emphasize to the Jews their inheritance. This much is yours. It goes from here to here. If you read, I've skipped the parts in Numbers because I'm about a historical approach here. But you can see it goes from this river to this lake to this mountain to this. And it's very specifically laid out. This is your land. It was given based upon the number of people in the tribe. It was very detailed. That would be, the Lord would be called evil today because he is shutting other people off from their land. And you've seen like I have, that people who fuss about this often have a lot of land that they shut off with walls from other people. Hollywood's always telling us how to live. We need to let people into our homes. They got mansions out there with 11 empty rooms and a fence around their property. The new Pope, he's talking about how walls are evil. Take a trip over to Vatican City. Just walk straight in. You don't have to worry about a wall if you don't mind your nose being smashed against it. There's a wall all around the thing. Well, see, a lot of these laws are for other people, not them. So they're speaking in principle, or trying to speak in principle, at something which is just foolish. And it's wrong to lay upon God that these things which he was part of in Israel, both to keep Jews separate from the nations and to keep the tribes separate from one another by land. That's not evil at all. It makes for peace. It actually was a good thing because you kept the. Remember when they came into Canaan, they got rid of all the gods. What were they supposed to do then? Open up their borders and say, "Listen, this land's not ours. It belongs to everybody." And let the people with the false gods back in. That was the whole point, to clear them out. So you can't support from Scripture anything that people say today is noble. It's all postmodernism. It's not at all biblical. So, we see here in this chapter that there is a concern. Now, the previous concern was by the daughters of Zelophehad, who said they have no, there's no brother. There's no son. It's just the daughters, five of them. What about our inheritance? And Moses said, "Well, yeah, you should have the inheritance." And the Lord told Moses, "Yeah, they should have the inheritance, because that's right." So they were given the inheritance of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. They were given that. That was theirs, although they were not sons. They were daughters. So they were given that, and that was to pass down to them, and there was a principle laid out in Israel for that, that if a man did not have sons, that the inheritance passed then to his daughters. So here in verse 1, we have some from the tribe of Manasseh, same tribe now we're talking about, who are concerned about a possibility that this will be misused and actually work to the destruction or the at least the minimizing of the tribe of Manasseh. Because here's what they're thinking. Verse 2, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land by lot to the sons of Israel as an inheritance. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. So the land would pass down through the sons. The land would go to the sons. The sons, just like today, it's traditional that I never entertained the fact, nor did my wife, of me becoming Scott Jackson. It was my last name, and if you want the pleasure of marrying me, woman, you're going to take my last name. It didn't go that way, but you know what I mean. It was something that was done. You don't have to. People don't always have to do that. That's not something mandated. But it shows the in Israel that you pass land down through the sons, unless there's no son. So here's what they're thinking. One of these daughters of Zelophehad will get married to someone like, say, from the tribe of Benjamin, a man. And so this man and woman, because of the way it was, the man would have the right of inheritance. And when she died, he would take her land over to the other tribe. And that's just the way it passed on. So this is the concern. So they go there, and they're not selfish. There's nothing, the Bible does not say one thing about them doing anything evil here. There's nothing evil in what they are doing. If there was evil, it's not recorded. And it doesn't have to be in this situation. There's nothing inherently evil. They were wanting to know, since the Lord was anxious for the people to keep their land, would this not put that in jeopardy? In verse 4, they say this: when the jubilee of the sons of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong, so their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. The year of jubilee was every 50 years. Seven sevens, you had Sabbath years, and you had the year of jubilee, which is seven sevens plus the next one was the 50th year. And the year of jubilee, let me read you from Leviticus what it says what would happen in the year of jubilee. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You didn't sell land in Israel. You basically leased it. And you got it for however long it was until the jubilee, and after when the jubilee came, it went back. Leviticus 25:13. On this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. Leviticus 27:24. In the year of jubilee, the field shall return to the one from whom he bought it, to whom the possession of the land belongs. So in the year of jubilee, any kind of hold that the daughters of Zelophehad had in Manasseh, that would go to the other tribe. It would go to the son of that family. And that would take land from the tribe of Manasseh. It also applied to slaves. People who had sold themselves into slavery for whatever reason, to pay off a debt or whatever, they would revert back. Once that jubilee year came, everything was free. It would be like for us, if you bought a house and you had a loan, a mortgage out for it. When the jubilee came, mortgage is gone. Kind of nice, wouldn't it? But you got to play fair. The Lord was emphatic about that, and I'm not going to go through all those details. So they feared that the land would move over, and that would be against the will of God, because the inheritance passing through the sons stayed there. It didn't become somebody else's. North Carolina used to be all the way from the Atlantic Ocean, right on through Tennessee. And there was no Tennessee. And so it was way over. And that's a lot of states were that way early on, I think. You talk about a long and wide state. That went all the way to the end of where Tennessee was, as far as I remember. Well, that then was apportioned differently for different reasons. And so you now have two states out of that, same in other parts of the land. But that was after the Lord laid out the land for the Jews. That didn't happen. It stayed in the family. You could sell, lease some of it for a while, let somebody farm it. If it was followed, which I don't think they really did. But if it was followed, you would never pass land to any other tribe. It would always be in your family. It would take any doubt about that. You would not have land barons trying to take over all the land of Israel. Everybody understood that your place in that land was temporary until the year of Jubilee, and then you're out of there and the other ones are back. And that is what the will of God was, that they did not transfer their land. And just to note again, that would right there make peace in a very volatile situation. Now, I think it's wise, not just not wrong, but wise for these sons of Manasseh to get that clarified before Moses exits the scene. Because once he is gone, then you try to decide. We got Joshua coming up, but there's going to come a time, if there's no law, that anything goes. And at that point, it's might makes right, and you're going to get your land all scattered up among other nations or other tribes. Well, that was the point. That was the point, to make for peace, to make for harmony, to do what the Lord required in keeping the land in the tribe that he gave it to. So these daughters were told, and they complied perfectly with it, that they could only marry within their family. They could only marry within their tribe. Their uncle's sons, they all married. So the son is in Manasseh. So the son, the inheritance of that, is Manasseh. Manasseh loses nothing. So any daughter who was given an inheritance because her father had no sons, it was this way. It stayed in the land. There's no arguing about it. There was no dispute over it. Lord laid those borders out very clearly, and it stayed there. Thus, verse 9 says, no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another tribe. For the tribes of the sons of Israel shall each hold to his own inheritance. And they complied with that. These ladies seemed to be very nice. They showed a very nice spirit in Numbers 27 when we first ran into them. So verse 12 says, they married those from the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And their inheritance remained with the tribe of the family of their father. Think, if you will, just for a moment. I don't want you to get into evil thoughts. Think, if you will, just for a moment. If this was decided today, and that women who were concerned about their inheritance were told that they had to make sure they married men from within their own tribe, and then they would be able to keep their land through the man. That's the difference. That's the difference if you're not submitted to the will of God and you don't know about God's laws and what his purpose would be. Well, then all you do is react poorly. God has commands against homosexuality. They don't know about those. So whenever somebody says, homosexuality is wrong, they see it as something akin to saying that, people with red hair are evil, without any basis, just an opinion. And they react to that rather than to what God says. If they were God-fearing people, well, they would accept it. Oh, yeah, God says it. They would have no problem with genders. God made male and female. Because they don't know God, they have problems with genders. They don't know what gender they are anymore. Some mother's trying to you might have probably heard about it in the news, had joint custody with her estranged husband. I guess they divorced. She had a 3-year-old or 7-year-old. One was a 7-year-old every so often. And when he came over, she put him in a dress right off the bat, and earrings and all the other stuff, and make him a girl. So he went home to his dad's turn one time and said, Mommy tells me I'm a girl. And that went viral. And the judge gave them both custody now. And it went wild. And to think that would ever happen. You know, if, of all the concerns that people have whenever they had their children kept by someone else, you know, babysitters or family members or your grandmother keeping, one thing you never feared was that grandma would tell you that you were the opposite sex. Back when we were growing up. How was it with grandma? Yeah, it was good today, but she put me in a dress and told me I was a girl. That would be unheard of. But people have lost their way. They don't know about these things. It's not based in the Lord. So, verse 13, these are the commandments and the ordinances which the Lord commanded to the sons of Israel through Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. That takes the fighting in Canaan away from each other and outward to the nations that were to be dispelled from the land. It sets their sights in the proper place. Because unless they have that clear before them, there's always someone, and you know that today it's even more so. There is always someone looking for some way to be offended and to claim something for themselves because someone else has it and they don't have it. And they have every right, as much right as anybody else, to have it, and they don't have it. And so they put up a fuss, and some weak government worker starts saying, oh yeah, I think that's right, and it goes all to pieces after that. That they don't handle things in black and white laws today, because we are in the age of postmodernism, which follows the age of when absolutes and relatives kind of merged together and they became, subjective. So people don't do that. When I told my grandmother, I was mad. She told me to scratch my mad place. And that was the end of it. It didn't make sense biologically. Where's your mad place? Well, you get an itch, you scratch it, it's over. So you scratch your mad place and it's gone. Our parents back in our day, we were kids. You come crying selfish tears. They would tell you something like, straighten up or I'll give you something to really cry about. And that would be the end of that. Today, they'll open the division in Washington to care for people like you who are crying without there being a real good reason. Things are not handled in black and white these days. And so you have confusion. You have a lack of peace. You have destruction in society. So this isn't a bad thing. God makes the nations. There's a reason God divides these nations up. Some of these things turned into bad things by the evil of the people, but it was never evil in itself. Ahab wanted the garden that was by his palace, but he couldn't have it. He didn't want to give it up. It was his land. He wanted to give it up. Well, Jezebel gets in, has the guy killed, and then he said, "Well, go touch it now." Here comes Elijah, talking about Ahab's doom and Jezebel's, and it happened. God takes these things seriously. Supreme Court is in a number of cases, and states have in a number of cases come up with something called eminent domain. They see a piece of land that's a nice place, they want to put a building, and they'll, for the public good, take it. And take it from somebody else to use it for the public good. That's evil. I mean, I don't care what you, what name you put under it. It's evil. And you know, the doing of it is against, I think, what is commonly righteous in the eyes of God. Well, they did that here in Israel. It's your land. You know, it's your land. Neighbors, in our neighborhood, there's no fences on either side of me, left or right, but the doctor in the back put a fence up. I don't know why. I think he's got cats, and of course, a fence won't keep a cat in. The lady said that it keeps snakes out, so it won't keep snakes out either. But, I mean, it looks okay. It's a chicken wire fence. They can do that if they want to. If a tree falls down, it's going to alter the fence to some degree. But that's so people feel safe and secure with a fence. I'm all for it. They can do whatever they want to do. If they put up a 50-foot wall, I might have a problem with that. I think there are probably some ordinances about that. Keep blocking out the sun. But you know, people's land is their land. It's a precious thing. It should be a matter that you enjoy, not fight about. And that's what the Lord puts up here. Now, I was going to go into the death of Moses. I really don't have time now to do that. But I have to skip to Deuteronomy 34 for that, and I'll wait and do that next time. Any comments on this or thoughts or questions?